a dime, I suppose.
Welcome to Watchmen Minute, where we take a look at the 2009 Zack Snyder film Watchmen, one awkward minute at a time. My name is Travis Bowe from the Real Comic Heroes podcast.
I'm Eric Nash.
And I'm Chad Burdett from the Albany Times Union, the Comics Multiverse blog.
It's quite a mouthful.
Yeah. It's better than the first name the blog was called. Hmm. It was we read comics. There were some other people also contributing at the time, and that was the name that they wanted to go with. And so once it became just me, I made an executive decision, changed nice. To the Comics Multiverse. So.
Nice. Well, minute 69 starts with Doug asking John about Janie Slater and ends with Janie confronting John. Hence the awkwardness.
It's the gotcha minute.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I like that when Doug mentions Janie's name, that it's a genuine surprise to John. So all he can say is Janie.
And the only, you know, only real expression you see is in the flicker of his eyes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, kind of a spoiler for future minutes when, Veidt mentions like the emotion that he can see on John's face here is, you know, it's, I think we know exactly what he's referring to. So.
Ted Koppel says to Doug, one question at a time. And what I noted was the previous two things he said were sentences, not questions. Mm. So really odd that he would say that right then.
Yeah. Of course he does. Let me see. What does he say?
He did have plenty of questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, but.
Mm. I think at this point, you know, once you see, you know, he introduces, you know, Miss Slater, and then the audience turns to see Janie walk in, and then we start to get music, and there's still this ominous sound effect sort of following Manhattan, which adds to the tension, and I think it makes it really exciting. So it's pretty heartbreaking seeing as Janie walks in, you see how frail she looks, and I definitely like the addition of Janie to the scene. She's in the book, like, she's being interviewed, I believe, by Doug Roth, like, off camera or off panel. And it makes it makes her feel like more important of a character in this story. And I like that she gets to confront John here in the movie. So she's conveying, like, some of this, at least in the book, she conveys some of the same information as far as the, like talking about her time with John and everything, but it's done with more of an emphasis on her wanting to tell her story because she's more angry about what he's done to her or what she believes he's done to her. So it has a different feel in the movie. Like, she's more of a sympathetic character, I think. And although she's being kind of used by Doug here in the movie, so.
I think it's, you know, Janie is more, not only for John supposedly making her sick, but, you know, the whole getting rid of her for, Laurie.
So I think, yeah. That's, oh, yeah.
I think, you know, cause she even, says, do you remember how many times you said you loved me?
Yeah. That's a hard line.
Back to the actual entry is, you know, how did the audience know to look to their right? You know, what drew their attention that way? I mean, it wasn't like a sound or something that I didn't hear.
I think like the way that Roth like says it, it's very much like, and now Janie Slater, you know, and I think he kind of motions or turns his head. So yeah. I think there's enough people that would see, at least in the live, you know, TV audience, you know, there would be enough people seeing Roth look that way. And then, you know, definitely once Janie starts walking from kind of behind the, I guess the, the stands where everyone's sitting. You know, that's enough motion for someone to
realize
that someone's coming out.
Yeah, he kind of looks over there and does a quick nod, and then she walks out.
Yeah.
As the audience turns their head. So he kind of signals that something is coming.
Well, and plus, with the look that Forbes gives to the producer, and the producer has this real smug look, which is – it's just fantastic. But I think even then it's the cameras then go to Janie. So even if the people in the audience aren't really seeing Janie yet, if they're looking at, you know, the monitors and things – because I think when you're an audience member, there are TV sets, you know, positioned around enough that you can see what is being shown to the, you know, to the broadcast audience. So they would have probably then seen that as well. But I love the going back to the producer, it's very telling that this whole interaction is staged, you know, at the, you know, producerial level. So I'm guessing that Roth came to the producer with the idea of bringing Janie in at just the right time, since, you know, this thing has obviously orchestrated.
The handler doesn't look too happy.
No, not at all.
And then John himself, he stands up. So I think that's a pretty, kind of glaring, you know, this, you know, that much of emotion from the guy sitting on the stage taking all the questions previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again he says, "I wasn't told," which, going back to the, you know, like, should you have to have been told? Like,
well, and then from a logical point of view, I mean, you know, well, if he had been told, what would he have done? Is there a way for him to cure cancer? Maybe, or
I wouldn't put it past him. I imagine he could, you know, at the cellular level, probably clean up person's cells, I would imagine, but I don't know.
I think I probably just took it as, you know, once they, you know, broke up, then they kind of went their separate ways. And he, again, thinking about it would be a human emotion. And, you know, as he's, you know, transcended human emotions, then it just isn't something that he thought about or, you know, would have known about unless somebody did tell him that, you know, she had cancer.
Hmm. Something that's always stuck with me, you know, the wig moment when she pulls off her wig is very effective. I remember my grandmother went through chemotherapy. I believe for breast cancer. I was pretty young, but I do remember, you know, seeing her without like the scarf, like head wrap that she would wear kind of for the first time, like seeing that. And it, you know, it's that kind of thing sticks with you. So seeing this here, it's, like I said, very effective, especially with the crowd reaction and everything. So it's a pretty powerful moment.
I agree.
And she definitely, goes from being pretty quiet to just for a line or so there. She gets, quite loud and upset, understandably. And then back real quick for the "this is how you repay me." Back to being pretty quiet.
Probably hoping that, you know, John would respond or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm glad, like I said, that they add this kind of interaction to the movie, because without it, it's a very thin reason for Manhattan to, you know, kind of freak out, like we'll see in the next minute. So I definitely think Janie's presence here is a very strong reason to kind of evoke that reaction from him later.
Kind of going back to the before Watchmen stuff, I remember they kind of covered the part where, you know, well, basically it was John went back and kind of broke time, and then there were two times happening at the same time, and the one where when he started with the Watchmen or the Crime Busters, you know, the new group, He was originally supposed to be paired with Rorschach, and then he changed the marking so he was paired up with Sally Jupiter. Sally Jupiter.
Lori,
one of the Jupiters.
Sunspector.
Yeah. So, I mean, that going back and watching it again when I was preparing for this kind of brought that to my mind, too.
Yeah, I still need to read that section of Before Watchmen. I've been making my way through it, but haven't made it to the Manhattan book yet.
I would say of those books, the Manhattan book was probably the best one.
Oh, really? Yeah. I love the Minutemen version.
Yeah. Oh, Darwin Cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Manhattan one's pretty good. And, you know, assuming that that's, you know, part of the actual, you know, canon, then that adds a lot to, you know, his story.
Yeah.
And, the, you know, the story of him with not only Laurie, but also Janie. Because in one of the timelines he creates, they actually get married. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
I look forward to getting into that one then. All right. Anything else before things really start to heat up?
Don't think so.
Think I'm done?
All right. Well, people should reach out on Twitter and Instagram and let us know, you know, how what they think is going to happen next, maybe. Or, but you can do that over at Watchmen Minute on Twitter and Instagram.
And on Facebook, if you would please like our page, that'd be great. At facebook.com/Watchmen Minute. And our group, where we can discuss things, you can find that at Crimebusters Listener Society.
And also, be sure to check out the interview I'm going to be doing with you guys when this is to coincide with the release of this minute.
Yeah, yeah, we'll share it on all of our resources.
Yep, and thanks again for having me. Putting up with my weird schedule and
no worries.
We all have weird schedules.
So how many more minutes do you have to go?
Like 116 after tomorrow's minute 70, I think.
Nice.
We're getting there.
It's a journey.
Hey, this. Yeah, we're over a third now.
Yeah. So, yeah, everyone just, you know, come back tomorrow for Friday, minute 70, and we'll see what happens between John and Janie here. Till then, who watches The Watchmen?
We do.
We do.
Watchmen are over.